Amen. That's great. I appreciate the teens singing. What a beautiful song. Always God is good. Amen. And sometimes, like the song says, sometimes we may not feel like God is good. Sometimes we may not understand what God is doing, but we can rest in that promise and knowing that everything God does is good. And we thank God for that. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm feeling really good about our study. We are halfway through the book, and we're almost halfway through the year. Of course, this book only has four chapters, so but it's going well, and I'm looking forward to getting into our study this morning as we go into chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse number 1, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning and, Lord, just worship you. And, Lord, just thank you for the songs that have been sung this morning and just lifting up the name of Jesus. And, Lord, just singing of your grace and of your goodness. And, Lord, you're so good and you're so gracious to us. And Father, I pray this morning that our hearts would be attentive to what you'd have for us through your word. And Lord, that as you speak to our hearts, that we would be obedient. Lord, not just listening and then leaving, but Lord, truly listening and being attentive and acting upon what you've given us in your word. And so Father, I pray you just bless this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've been going through the series here, in finishing up chapter 2 last week, and Paul was encouraging Timothy to stand faithful, to stand for the truth of the Word of God, and we need men and women, we need young people to stand for the Word of truth. And as I said last week, the reason why he's encouraging Timothy to stay faithful and to stand for truth is because things are not going to get any better, right? In verse number 1 here says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I need your help here for a little bit, right? When we think of the last days, what do we think about? When we think of the last days, what do we think about when we think of last days? What's that? War? The rapture? What else? What do we think of when we think of last days? You have to be a little bit louder. Now you don't want to say anything, right? I said you got to be louder. Now you don't want to say anything, right? Come on, tell me out here. What do we think of when we think of last days? Tribulation, the rapture, the return of Jesus Christ, right? Wars, right? We think of all these different things, right? When we look at the signs of the last days, what do we think about? We think about the signs of the last days. You know, people are always talking about the signs of the last days, right? A few weeks ago, maybe it's now, maybe it might be a month or two ago now, of course, there was that eclipse, and everybody's like, oh, this is a sign of the last days, right? You have the war that's going on with Israel, right? That started back in October, and bombing of Israel, and Israelis being taken captive. Oh, this is the signs of the last days. So when we think of the signs of the last days, what do we think of? Is that kind of what we think of? Wars, famines, you know? Difficulties, things like that. Is that kind of what we think of, right? Well, I want you to think about what he's saying here. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." And he gives this entire list here. There's no doubt that we are living in dangerous times. That's very obvious, right? We are living in dangerous times. You just look around, you see all that's happening, and We are in a dangerous time period. And that's what the word perilous means. He says, know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. The word perilous means dangerous. It means danger. Okay? He says there are dangerous times that are going to come. And no doubt we would think that we are living in dangerous times. But when we think about dangerous times, I think Paul specifically points out two things here about these dangerous times that we're living in. Obviously, no doubt, Paul is thinking that even in his day and age, that these were dangerous times as well. And even in the time that we live today, we live in dangerous times. And I want you to think about what he says here in these two points about dangerous times. Notice, first of all, in dangerous times, there will be a godless world. There is a godless world. Obviously, the last days are going to be dangerous, right? I mean, we get that. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars and famines and all these different things. And Paul says, perilous time shall come. Now, it's not that evil hasn't been in the world, right? Evil has always been in the world. When Paul wrote this, when he said perilous times will come, it wasn't that Paul was just living in a wonderful day and age. It wasn't like there was no problems or anything like that. No, it was an evil day, right? We understand that. The Roman Empire was in charge, and things were not good for Christians, and it was an evil day. There was wickedness and all of these things. So it's not that evil hasn't been in the world, but I think if we look around and we see what's happening in our world today, I think we could say that evil is deeper and of a greater intensity than before. It is being accepted and promoted by society in a much bolder way, right? We are living in a godless world. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you cannot look at what's going on in society. And by the way, the thing we have to be very careful about is that we don't look at the Bible through the lens of America. You know, sometimes we think that everything in the Bible has to do with America, and we have to look through it through the lens of America, right? Because America is going downhill, then that just means Jesus is coming back sooner. Because America is not standing for truth, then, wait a minute, I don't know if you know anything, but I can't find America in the Bible anyway. You can't find it, right? So we have to be careful that we don't look at Scripture and look at things through the eyes of America, right? Now, there's no doubt that America is going downhill. There's no doubt about that. But we're not just talking about America. We're talking about the world in general. We are living in a godless world. What if I were to tell you, though, that the dangerous times that Paul speaks of here, the evidence of the last days that he gives, I don't think is referring to the world. When has the world not been what we just read in these verses? When has the world not been lovers of themselves? When has the world not been covetous? When has the world not been boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy? I mean, you read through this whole list. When has the world not been these things? They've always been these things, right? They've always been. We are living in a godless world, right? I mean, lovers of self, covetous, proud, unholy, right? All these different things. Now, do these things not describe the world as it has been, as it is, and as it will be? I think so. I think this list describes the world as it has been in the past, as it is currently now, and as it will be in the future. That this is a description, no doubt, of what we can see in the world today. But I don't think that Paul is describing the world here. Because this is the way the world has always been. Why would he say in the last days, perilous times shall come, and this is what's going to happen? This is the way the world has always been. I mean, you go back and you read through the Old Testament, right? You read through what happened in the days of Noah and things. Why did God destroy the earth? Because the world was wicked. It was a wicked, godless world. Why did God call Abraham out, and why was God going to make the nation of Israel? Because it was a wicked world. It was a wicked world. I mean, No time have these things not been seen in the world. So why then would Paul all of a sudden say, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. In the last days, boy, you're gonna see all these different things. Do you remember where Paul was writing from? Paul was writing from jail, right? I think Paul probably thought he was having a little bit of a hard time. Paul not only was in jail, but he knows he's about to be executed. Why was he going to be executed? What crime had he committed? He was just a preacher of the gospel. That's all he was. He was just preaching the gospel, right? And no doubt, even in Paul's day, it was a wicked, godless world. So then why would Paul, who is living in a wicked, godless world, say in the last days there's going to be a wicked, godless world? I mean, again, there is, in dangerous times, it is a godless world. But if Paul is not describing the world, which I don't think he is, then who is he describing? What is he describing? I believe Paul is describing not only the world, but also I believe Paul is describing what is going to happen in the church. Paul is describing what's going to take place in the church in the last days. Now, we would think and we would hope that in the last days, the church would be on fire for God. We would think and hope that the church would be, man, doing more for the cause of Jesus Christ. But I think Paul understands in the last days, we are not only living in a godless world, but a godless church. It's a godless church. I want you to think about what Paul says in Acts chapter 20. Turn over with me. Hold your place there in 2 Timothy. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Notice in verse number 29. As Paul is getting ready to leave this area of Asia Minor, and he's encouraging the believers and the pastors and these things here, he says in Acts chapter 20, verse number 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Paul says, hey, listen, church, here in Ephesus, and you believers here, he said, listen, you've got to be very careful, because as soon as I leave, let me tell you what's going to happen. There's going to come in grievous wolves. They're going to come in, and they're going to try to destroy the church. And even there are going to be those that arise from among you, the church, teaching perverse things. Why? What's he say? To draw away disciples after them. Paul said after his death and after his departure, false teachers would enter the church for the purpose of basically fleecing the saints. You don't believe what he says here? How about go over to Romans chapter 16? Romans chapter 16. Notice verse number 17. Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." What's he saying? He said, hey, church in Rome, you better be careful. You better be aware, because there's going to come in people that are going to start preaching wrong things. They're going to try to cause divisions about the doctrine that you've learned. And if you start hearing people that are teaching doctrine that is not from the Bible, doctrine that we have not taught you, you better mark them, avoid them, because all they're after is you. They're trying to get you to follow them. That's what he says in verse 18. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." All they're concerned about is themselves. He said, with good words and fair speeches, they're going to deceive the hearts of men. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus tells us that we are to be the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus says the purpose of the church is to be a light to the world. The purpose of the church is to try to help draw people to Jesus Christ. But Paul is saying, hey, listen, in the last days, there's going to be dangerous times, not so much the world. The world is always going to be godless. The world is always going to be a dangerous time in the world. There's no doubt about it. You can go all the way through history, and you can find persecution of the believers from the world. It's always there. We live in a godless world. But he says, here's the thing, though. Here's what's going to change. In the last days, perilous times will come. In the last days, it's going to be dangerous, not because of the world being godless, but because of the church being godless. The church is going to become godless. He says there's going to arise those within the church that are going to preach perverse things. This is why so many times you've heard me say this over and over and over again. I said, look, you don't believe me because I say it. You go back and you check it and you make sure that it's in the Word of God. You better make sure that what I'm saying lines up to the Bible. Because you know what's going to happen? There can be people that are come in and they'll preach false doctrines and they'll preach perverse things. And it might sound good. They might have a good speech or they might have good words. But if it doesn't line up with Scripture, Paul says you better mark them and avoid them. It's not just the pastor that's supposed to study the Word of God and be like, okay, this is what everybody needs. You just believe me. You trust me. No, no, no. You better not just believe me. You better not just trust me. You better check it and make sure that it's in the book. Because if it's not in the book, we've got a serious problem. And you need to deal with it. Yeah, that's what I said. You need to deal with it. If I'm up here preaching something that's not doctrinally correct, you need to deal with it. Well, Pastor, we trust you. I appreciate that, but don't. You better have only one thing that you trust, and that's the Word of God. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, in the last days, it's going to get dangerous because in the church is going to become more and more and more godless. It's almost like an oxymoron, isn't it? The church being godless? This is what he's saying. He says, after I leave, this is what's going to happen. Even during the early church, there was a danger of corruption. Again, not so much from without, but from within. The danger that Paul is warning them of here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 1, about the perilous times of the last days, is not about the world. The world has always been wicked. The perilous times of the last days that Paul is warning is about in the church. And what he's about to describe is a pretty graphic scene. What he describes here in the church in the last days is very graphic. But the saddest part of it is that it's a description of what's happening in the church in the last days. You want to know when Jesus is coming back? Don't look at the world. Look at the church. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to set a time when Jesus is coming back. I'm not doing that. But I'm saying the world has always been wicked. The world has always been evil. But Paul says, hey, Timothy, you've got to stand for truth. You've got to stand for right. That's what this whole chapter 2 was about. Timothy, you've got to keep going. You've got to stand faithful. You've got to stay true to the Word because in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Hey, Paul said, I'm in prison, Timothy. It's not that the world is going to get is wicked. It's already wicked. It's already godless. But Timothy, you've got to stay faithful because if we're not careful, the church will become godless. The church will become godless. Paul lists 19 things. 19. Not 7 or 8. Not 10 or 11. He lists 19 things here. What a list that he gives. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You want to talk about a graphic scene? It's one thing to say, hey, look at how wicked the world is, but he's not talking about the world. Look how godless the church has become. You read these things, you're like, man, that's a description of the world, but he's describing the church. In Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32, we're not going to read there, but Paul gives a list of over 20 things that the world does. The corruption, the destruction, the wickedness of the world. You read what Romans chapter 1 speaks about, how God basically turns them over to their reprobate mind. You know what's really sad is the list in Romans chapter 1, who is about the world, and the list in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are almost identical. One's dealing with the world and one's dealing with the church. Because the church said, we don't need God. In 1 Corinthians 13 is what is referred to as the chapter on love, right? Charity, love. God's love displayed through the life of believers. But here in this passage as well, there's an emphasis on love, but it's not God's love. It's self-love. Self-love. Lovers of their own selves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. A man said this one time, he said, the heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. The reason why the church is going to become godless is because of the heart of believers, the heart of those who call themselves Christians. Now, let's just kind of look through this list. Again, we don't have time to go through this and break down every single one, but as we read through this list, again, I think so many times we read through this list thinking that Paul is describing the world in the last days. Perilous times are going to come. In the last days, it's going to be dangerous. In the last days, oh man, the world's going to be wicked. No, the world is wicked. But I want you to think with me as we read through this, thinking that Paul is not describing the world, but he's describing the church. And you tell me if I'm wrong. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of self, selfishness, self-centeredness. But I believe specifically what he's saying here is the lovers of their own selves has to do with self-salvation. Being able to save self. I can save myself. I don't need what God says. I don't need what the Bible says. I can save myself. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many religions are all about self-salvation today? You can save yourself. If you can just follow the Ten Commandments, if you're just be a good person, if you join our church, you do this, you do that, you can save yourself. Can I say that is not what the Bible says? The Bible says there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way to be saved than through Him. But yet the world and the church and religion today is trying to say, hey, no. It's not, Jesus isn't the only way. I mean, you can believe in Jesus, but you can also do all these other things as well. No, my friend. Jesus said there's only one way. You see, we have become lovers of self. Even in the area of salvation, we are selfish, self-centered lovers of self. Covetous. What is covetousness? It's the love of money and possessions. Specifically, you look and see what covetousness speaks of in the Bible. It's the love of money, the love of possessions. Now again, we're not thinking about the world. We're thinking about the church. Has the church not become the love of money, the love of possessions? Oh, friend, I'm not talking about the building. That's not what we're talking about here. The building is not the church. Who is the church? We are. And it's not those who call themselves to be part of the church become more concerned about money, more concerned about possessions than they are about the things of God. This is the church that he's saying. A church that ought to have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. A church that ought to say, hey, God, you saved me and I want to serve you, do whatever. No, I don't care about God. I'm just going to be concerned about me. Covetousness. Boasters. Braggers. Boasting in what they have. Look at what I have. Look at what I've earned. Look at what I've attained. Proud. You see, the love and worship of self leads to pride. Do you understand that pride was the sin of the devil? Lucifer said, I'm not content being what God made me to be. I'm not content with what he had. Even though God says you are the most beautiful, you are the most ornate angel that there was. You're specifically prepared for worship, and even though God made you to be the best, you were not content. You were not content the way God made you. You had to have something else. You had to have more. You would not be content doing what God wanted you to do. You became proud. You see, the love of self leads to pride. We worship self, we love self, and it leads to pride. And are we not seeing that in our society? Are we not seeing that even in what we would call the church? People are more concerned about self and worship of self and me than we are about God. Blasphemers, slandering, insulting, reviling the things of God, not concerned. Well, you know, that used to be a good book, but now, you know, we don't really need to hold to the Bible. We have more modern ideas. Look, I don't care if you have the most modern idea in the world. If it goes against the Bible, it's wrong. It's wrong. We stand on the Word of God. That's it, period. We don't stand on modern ideas. We don't stand on self. We stand on the Word of God. Notice how this affects the family. Notice he says, disobedient to parents. Again, we're not talking about the world. That's obvious, right? We're talking about the church. Disobedient to parents. What's happened? We're not teaching our children to honor and respect and reverence their parents. We're not teaching them to have a reverence for authority. And it begins in the home. Hey, the reason why you look and see what's going on in the world is because there's no reverence, there's no teaching on honoring the authority in the home first, and so that's just displayed in public. But this isn't just the world he's speaking about, this is the church. The church, and amongst the believers, children that just have no honor, no respect for their parents, just disobedient, no honor, no desire for respect. Unthankful. No sense of gratitude. We're entitled. Look, there's no doubt today that we live in an entitled society. But we're not talking about the world. We're talking about the church. And even in the church, we're in an entitled society. Well, if I don't get this, then, well, if I don't get it my way, if I don't do it the way that I think it ought to be done. You see, it's all about me. We live in this entitled society, this unthankfulness, no sense of gratitude. Look, have we ever stopped and just say, God, I don't deserve anything. Because I'm saved, I get to go to heaven. And Lord, if that's all I ever get, I'm thankful for that. But no, we become entitled. We think, well, God, I deserve this, and I deserve these blessings, and I deserve this position, and God, you should bless me with this, and God, you should give me this, and God, I need this. And we become entitled. And if God doesn't do what we want, we get mad at God. That's unthankfulness. Being unthankful. Unholy. How? How can you say the church, the people of God, who are to be holy? God says, he tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. But yet Paul says in the last days, the church is going to be unholy. Why? Because we're not standing for truth. This is what he was talking about in chapter 2 to Timothy. Timothy, you've got to stand. You've got to be faithful. You've got to keep going. Because in the end times, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard because this is what's going to happen in the church. The church that is supposed to be holy is going to become unholy. No desire for the things of God. No desire to follow God. No desire to please God with our life. Unholy. He says in verse 3, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Again, when you go back and you read Romans chapter 1, you understand this is a sin specific of the world that God gives them over to their reprobate mind. But he says this is being done in the church. And there was a time when we think there's no way this could ever be done in anything that is considered a church. And now, you have churches flaunting it. churches promoting it, churches having promotions of all the LGBTQ stuff, churches flying the flags and all these things. Churches, not the world, churches, those that are supposed to be standing for truth, those that are supposed to be standing for right. This is what he says, without natural affection. We understand this is abnormal affection. This is totally against God. Exactly what he says in Romans chapter 1, he gave them over to the reprobate mind, the world. But he said, this is what's happening in the church now. The church is okay with it. The church is allowing it. The church is promoting it. You say, well, you know, it's just not, you know, we're living in a sad day. We are living in a sad day, but where is the church standing up for truth? Where are Christians standing up for right? This is what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy, hey, it's going to get bad. Not in the world. It's already bad. It's going to get bad in the church. And you've got to stay faithful, Timothy. You've got to stand true to the word of God. Hey, look, these young people that are coming up here, we need to set an example to them to say, hey, doesn't matter what society does, we can stand true and faithful to the word of God so that they have an opportunity to stand true and faithful to the word of God. This was the church without natural affection. Truce breakers. They're just, nobody's trustworthy. You imagine in the church, you can't trust anybody? False accusers, lying, slandering about others, backbiting, gossip, all of this, incontinent. The word incontinent means, it means a lack of self-control. They're undisciplined, uncontrolled, simply yielding to whatever the flesh desires. Whatever the flesh wants. It's not whatever the Spirit of God wants. It's not whatever God's leading us to do. No, whatever my flesh wants. There's no self-control. It's a lack of control. Incontinent, fierce. Fierce. The word fierce means savage. How can the word Christian and fierce go together? They should be miles apart, but yet he says this is what's happening. Those that are calling themselves Christians, those that are part of the church, fierce. They're savage. They hate each other. They're trying to devour each other. They're trying to destroy each other. Well, that's a good testimony for Jesus, isn't it? This is what he says is happening. They're opposite. It's the opposite of gentleness. There's no gentleness anymore. It's all about me. This is what he says, despisers of those that are good. When someone's actually trying to do what is right, and someone's actually trying to do what God wants them to do, everybody else is looking down and like, how dare you? Don't you? What do you think you're doing? They're despising those that are actually trying to stand for right. They're despising those that are actually trying to do what God wants them to do. Instead of encouraging, instead of uplifting and saying, hey, man, I'm so glad you're doing what God wants you to do. Man, hey, some of these young people that stood up here, today will be the last day that you see some of them for a couple months. They're going off serving at camp. What an awesome testimony that young people would be willing to give up their summer to go work at a camp. Believe me, they're not making money at the camp. But to give up their summer to go serve and work at a camp. And then someone to come up and say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Why in the world would you want to give up your summer and go to camp? Man, that's stupid. I mean, don't you know you could make a whole lot more money here? You know, I mean, why would you go there? I mean, you don't even know half the kids that come there. You're never going to see them. I mean, what? That's what he's talking about. Despisers of those that are good. Instead of encouraging them, say, man, praise God, you guys get an opportunity to invest in the lives of young people. Instead, they're discouraging and trying to tear them down. Despisers of those that are good in the church? Despising that which is good? Traitors. Traitors. Betraying the trust of those that are closest to you. Betraying the trust of friends. A traitor. Heady, the word heady means to be headstrong, to be reckless, to be just be rash, just to do whatever comes to mind, I'm just going to do it. High-minded, conceited, feeling self-important. Again, it's all about me. There's this It's self-centered. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And here's where I really believe that Paul is showing this is the church, not the world. The world doesn't care anything about God. Why would Paul be surprised that the world doesn't love God? Why would Paul be surprised that the world loves pleasure more than they love God? There's no surprise there. That's expected of the world. The surprise is those who claim to be Christians, those who say, hey, I love God, but he says they love pleasure more than they love God. They love the things of self. They love to just satisfy self and do whatever they want more than they want to do the things of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. There's an outward form of religion, but denying the power thereof. It's not true faith. It's wrapped up, and it's got a pretty bow on it, and it says Christian on it, but he says, let me tell you something, Timothy, there is nothing Christian about it. There is nothing godly about it. There's nothing holy about it, Timothy. And this is the direction that the church, he says, is going to go. And friend, I think there's no doubt in history, you could probably go back through history, you can probably say, even in the church, you could probably pick out certain one of these different things and say, okay, yeah, I see that one here and I see that one here. But I don't know that there's ever been a time where you could take every single one of these that Paul lists and say, they're there now, like they are today. You look at what Christianity has become, and it's exactly what Paul says you better be careful of. Now please, when I say Christianity in the church, I'm not just saying that everybody that claims the name of Christianity and everybody that claims the name of being a Christian is truly saved. But this is what Paul is warning of. He said they're going to creep in. They're going to come out from in the church. They're not going to attack from the outside. They're going to come from inside. And they're going to come up starting to teach these false doctrines and teach all these different false things and say, hey, it's all right. God didn't really mean to say that we ought to be separate. It's okay. God doesn't really mean that a man should only marry a woman. No, God says, hey, you just love anybody that you want to because God is love and we can just do whatever we want. And God understands. No, friend, God says in his word there's a specific way that he wants us to live. There's a specific way that he desires those who claim the name of Jesus Christ to follow. But the problem is we are living in a godless church and we don't even realize it. We're just going along with a godless church. Nobody's standing up for truth. Nobody's standing up for truth. Well, you know, it's just not, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, this will pass, you know. Wait a minute. Where are the Timothys that Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, you've got to stand for truth. You've got to stand for right. Because this is what he says is going to happen. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He says, look, there's an outward form. It looks like they're disciples. It looks like, oh, they claim to be Christians. They claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. They seem to be disciples. They seem to be there to learn. But there's no desire to actually do what God has said. And I'm afraid that in so many churches today, we have a lot of people that are ever learning. They sit and they listen to the word of God being preached. And they sit and they say, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what God says. But we don't do anything about it. We just come in and we listen and we go out the same way that we came in. And there's no desire in our heart to do what God says. Can I tell you something? We are very close to being a godless church. If there is no desire to do what God says, if there's no desire to follow what God has said and to do what he wants for us, are we not a godless church? Oh, you say, but Pastor, I'm a Christian. Look, I'm not saying that a Christian cannot be part of a godless church. Because Paul said, hey, they're going to creep in. They're going to come in and they're going to pervert. They're going to try to change all the doctrines and everything. And they're going to try to change everything that God has said. They're going to try to change everything that God has done. And where are those that are going to stand for truth? Where are those that are going to stand and say, hey, this is what God said. We're going to follow what God wants us to do. Just as Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Paul has said to the church of Rome, he said to the churches of Ephesus, he said to Timothy, he said to Titus, you better be careful. Over and over and over and over, Paul says, hey, you better stay faithful. You better stick to the truth of the Word of God. You better make sure you know what God says. Somebody comes to you after church. Well, you know, I really like what Pastor said, but what do you think about this? Don't you think that we should just be loving of everybody? Don't you think we should just accept everybody the way they are? I mean, if a man chooses to love a man or a woman, don't you think we should? And what happens? They start trying to creep in. Not from the pulpit. From out there. From out there. They start trying to creep in. Well, don't you think the Bible, don't you think that God may have had a little bit more grace? Don't you think that God would do this a little bit different? Don't you think that the preaching is a little bit too hard on this? You know, I mean, we should just be, you know, we should kind of accept some of these sins. I mean, it's kind of our culture and society. It doesn't come from up here. It's going to come from out there. And the question is, are you going to be knowledgeable enough about the Word of God to be able to say, hey, wait a second, that's not what God says. That's not the Word of God. That's not truth. He said, mark them and avoid them. But instead, because we don't know truth, we just expect the pastor to teach the truth. We just expect the pastor to tell us what we need to know instead of us studying it ourselves. When false doctrine and things start creeping in, guess what happens? We just start following it. We just start believing it. Because we don't know what the truth of the Word of God says. Now, we would all like to say, oh, no, that wouldn't be me. That wouldn't be me. But can I ask you, how well do you really know the Word of God? How well do you know the Word of God? Paul commended the Bereans. He said they were more noble than those of Thessalonica because he said, when I preached, they searched the Scriptures to see whether those things were so. He said they went back and they searched to find out if what I said was actually true. Now, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip or anything, but I wonder, when's the last time you took a message that I preached and went back and actually looked to see, is it actually true or not? Is it actually true what he said? Is he actually preaching the Word of God? I wonder how many have ever done it. You say, Pastor, are you telling us you're preaching false doctrine? I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. You see, we just get so comfortable just going along with what everybody just tells us to do that we don't actually check and make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do in studying the Word of God and finding out. And this is what Paul said. Look over with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this is why I believe Paul was so concerned about this. Over and over and over and over he deals with this. Over and over and over. And this is why I tell you, friend, you better check the Scriptures. You better look at the context. You better make sure, because anybody can take a Scripture and make a doctrine out of it. Anybody can take a Scripture and make something else out of it. You better make sure that what they're saying about it is true and it's in context and it's right with what God says. And this is what Paul says. Look at, and you can just see the concern as he's writing to the, as he's telling those believers in Acts chapter 20, and he writes to the church of Rome in Romans chapter 16, and as he writes to Timothy, and he writes to Titus, and here, as he writes to the church of Corinth, you can see the concern that Paul says, hey, if we're not careful, the church is going to become a godless church. It's all ritual, it's all form, it's all about me, and God's not even a part of it anymore. And here's a sad thing. We don't even recognize it's a godless church. We don't even recognize that we are godless. Because we come to church on Sunday and we have a Bible and we do all the right rituals and the right things that we're supposed to do. Yet we have no desire at all to be obedient to God. We have no desire to follow what God says. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 15. Well, look up in verse number 14. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." So he's saying, hey, we understand that everybody was born a sinner, but Jesus Christ died for everyone, for sin, for all mankind, and that he died for all, verse 15, that they which live, not physically, but spiritually, those who live, those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what does he say? Should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He said, this is what Christianity is about. He said, hey, he died so that we could live, so that we could have eternal life, and so that we could live for him, not for self. You go back and you read exactly what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's all about me. It's all about self. The church became more about me than about God. More about self and what I want than what Jesus says we're supposed to do. And he said, Timothy, you better be careful. You better make sure that you know the Word of God. You stand fast on the faithful Word of God. You hold fast to that because it's going to get worse. Not the world. The church. It's going to get bad. They're going to come in and going to start teaching false doctrine and teaching all these different corruptible things. And you better know what you believe, Timothy, because if not, you'll get swept up along with them. If you don't know what you believe, it's so easy for cults to come in and sweep off people that thought they knew the world. Oh, I'm a Christian. And where are they at? Oh, they're with this cult now. What happened? I don't know. He says, hey, Timothy, the reason why they've got the good speeches. They've got the good words. They make it sound all really good. They're not going to preach against your sin. They're not going to preach against those things. They're just going to make you feel really good. And they're going to deceive you. And they're going to destroy you. And so he says, Timothy, hold fast. Timothy, be faithful. Timothy, be strong. Why? He says that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. So can I ask you a question this morning? If you say you're a Christian here today, and praise God for that. If you say, I know, Pastor, I'm saved. I know there's a day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and he saved me from my sin. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. Praise God for that. But are you living for him? Or are you living for self? Because a godless church is all about living for self. We don't care what God says. I don't care that God says it. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And friend, you can do that. Know that one day you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can do it. But he says, that's not how I want you to live. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He said, I want you to live for me. I want you to follow what my word says. I want you to get in and know me. I want you to find out what I have for your life. And I want you to trust me and follow me. Don't listen to what the world says. Don't listen to what religion says. Hey, when your pastor gets up and preach, you better get back in there and check it and make sure he's right. When anybody stands up here and preaches, you better get in and check and make sure what they're saying is right. Are we living for self? Are we living for God? You see, a godless church cares nothing about living for God. A godless church, you can read there all those different things that we would think, there's no way that those things could be in a church. There's no way that this could be a description of the church. And yet it is. Because we care nothing about being obedient to God. All we care about is me. Self. Who are you living for? I wonder, with her heads bowed and her eyes closed, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking about. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I share with you how much He loves you, that He died on the cross to save you from your sin? You cannot save yourself, friend. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. It is only what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. If you're willing to repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He can forgive you of your sin. You can have peace with God. That's the only way. I wonder if maybe there's somebody here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. But I'd sure like to have that peace with God. I'd sure like to know how I could be saved and have my sins forgiven. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. Pastor, would you pray for me? And friend, may I ask you this morning, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to ask you a very simple question. Are you living for self? Or are you living for God? Are you living for self? Or are you living for God? Are we part of that godless church that Paul warns Timothy about? Or are we going to be one of those Timothys that says, I'm going to stand true to the Word of God. I'm going to stand faithful to God. I'm going to know the Word of God so I can be true to what God wants for my life. Their heads bowed and eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. Friend, maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning.